Jesus, again, we ask your blessing on the service. We thank you for everyone who's here today. We've come expecting, and I know you won't disappoint. So, Lord, we thank you for loving us, and we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. God is he's good. He amazes us. You say, well, how come he doesn't do this or doesn't do that? I have no idea. But, I mean, little things that turn out to be, to me, big things. So God's got he's working. And we see God's hand in stuff. Chris is going to, y'all don't have to stand, but watch it. Just call these things out. I'm going to try my best not to say anything. Let's see if we remember stuff. What's this right here? Fall of man. Flood. Noah. Three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 40 days and 40 nights. Vicki and Santos, I'm sorry, we're learning the Bible with hand motion, so I know I'm throwing you into the mix. This would be like me taking algebra. Anyway, so, fall of man, flood, Noah, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, 40 days, 40 nights. Pick up a rat and airy mount, because the ark landed on Mount Ararat. And then, blah, 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 blah. In Genesis 11, Tower of Babel, people got confused of language because they're trying to get to heaven without God, and you can't do that. Tower of Babel, but then Abraham, covenant, three things. People, place, prosperity. Two sons. How'd you get that? Ishmael, Isaac. Isaac had two sons. They were twins. Jacob, Esau. Jacob had 12 sons. One daughter, her name was Dinah. Put your thumbs under your suspenders. Joseph, sold into slavery. When he did like this, he rose second to Canaan. So guess what? He's brought his family into Egypt. Now, I know it's not my message, but I got to throw this in here. Brought his family into Egypt. Perry was asking me last week, and after the service, it is a little bit confusing. Right now, everybody's happy. When he brought his family into Egypt, Pharaoh said, bring your family in. Man, we love you. We love your God. We love your people. Everything was great. But who was in a way, if you want to say it's a slave, the Egyptians were sort of slaves right now, but not that they beat and hit them, but during the famine, they came up and said, Joseph, because of his knowledge in 7-year span there, he saved grain. And Pharaoh said, yay. And he said, I'll take care of everything. I'll make you a rich man. Pharaoh's all on account of that. So here's what Joseph did. First couple of years, everything's great. But now the people ran out of food. So they come and said, give us grain. And Joseph says, I'll sell it to you. Now don't say he's a mean guy. He's a shrewd businessman. And so he sells them grain. After a while, they ran out of money. He says, okay, I'll take your house and home and your horses. Cheryl would not have done that. But anyway, he took horses and he took Gretel. And now they're gone. What have they got left? Themselves. So he says, I'll tell you what, sell me you. Okay. So they really, in essence, sort of became slaves because they didn't have anything else. But Joseph was kind. He said, now here's some grain. You go back, grow gardens, do everything. But a fourth of that, you make sure you give back to Pharaoh. They said, it's a deal. Hey, they stayed alive. But for a while, it was almost like the Egyptian slave. But then Joseph brought his family into Egypt. Slavery in Egypt. Why? Because in between that, Joseph died. And basically, there grew up a Pharaoh that didn't know God, didn't know Joseph. And now who's the slaves? Now all the Hebrews. Remember Joseph brought his family into Egypt? Now all the Hebrews. So Egyptians were selling themselves for a while. Now there grew up a Pharaoh that knew not God, knew not Joseph. It's like, who is this? I don't need to do what you say. So now the Hebrews are slaves. And they had slavery for 430 years. And God says, enough is enough. God raised up a leader. His name is Moses. Adoption of Moses. Moses murdered. Moses ran. God called Moses at the burning bush. Confrontation with Pharaoh. 10 plagues. First plague. Water to blood. Second plague. Frogs. Third plague. Lice. Fourth plague. Flies. See how they're aggravating. Fifth plague. Death of the cattle. Sixth plague. Boils. Seventh plague. Thunder and hail. You know, raise the umbrella, look for thunder and hail. Eighth plague. Mark, what's eighth plague? John the Baptist, remember what he ate? Locust. So he reached down, get a locust, and eat it. Eighth plague, locust. Ninth plague, big darkness. Tenth plague, death of the firstborn. Now turn the doorknob, open the door, exit from Egypt. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Where did they go? Next thing here. Oh, sorry, Chris. Do like this, slap you. Parting of the Red Sea. There you go. Got that? So, cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Parting of the Red Sea. Mount Sinai. 10, unroll them. 10 commandments. There you go. And that's as far as we got. There's the 10 commandments. Anybody grew up saying the 10 commandments? Tell me where it mentions Jesus in that. It doesn't. Well, you say it mentions God. But really, should that offend anybody? They had this plaque on the wall in Giles High School. They had the plaque out there. And they come up with a court case and said, you got to remove it. I used to go to Riverview Baptist. We went up there for 8 years in Giles. Sean Wilburn was even one of those. Tim knows Sean. That they had a big thing at the school board meeting. And they usually you'll have, I saw the school board meeting. Melanie filmed it the other night because Benjamin was part of it. But anyway, there's probably about 8 or 10 people there. They had this meeting for this. I bet you it's 200 people. Had people standing out in the hall like, you don't take the Ten Commandments. But we're rednecks at Giles, but we're going to stand up for God. I think his name was... Wasn't Jeff Croy. Anyway, was a guy a couple years behind me. He is now grown older and stuff. Jeff Morris was his name. They pulled a tractor trailer in a field right before you get to Giles because he owns that land. Guess what's on the side of that tractor trailer? Ten Commandments. You take it down, we'll put it up. But Judeo-Christian ethics, this is it. Why would anybody get mad at that? You know, you've offended me, you talk about Jesus. I didn't even mention it. This is just teaching you how to live. Why do you think God had to give the Ten Commandments to people? Well, remember this, he gave plagues to Pharaoh, and finally he got his people out of Egypt, and then he parted the Red Sea. They cleared the Red Sea, but as soon as they parted and got away from everything, we've got, and people started acting up, and okay, Moses says, all right, we're not going to go any further until, Susan could identify this, what do you have in your class? We're going to have to come up with some rules here, you know. If I come up and says, okay, we're going to have class today, and, yes, Johnny, can I go to the bathroom? Okay, let's stop right here. You can go to the bathroom once when you need it, not 12 times, so sit down. Now we've got to come up with the rules. Well, here's the rules. You think these people were rough to follow God? Here's some of the rules. All right, you ready? Listen up. You can't kill each other. Oh, gosh, take away all the fun. You can't lie, can't steal, can't commit adultery, quit and run around somebody else's wife, can't covet and want something. Wow. You say, oh, gosh, this is common what? It's a common knowledge, common sense, and he still has to tell it to them. Y'all got to quit killing each other. They must have had a problem with killing. And people were bound down to other things, so here's the commandments. Look what the first one says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God basically was saying this, I'm God, and that's it. Don't try to be. The throne's already occupied. We had a movie called The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Remember when I was growing up, everybody loved The Ten Commandments. Now, thanks to the laws, we're trying to take them down. You think society's changed? Wow. Here's what my favorite TV show, Andy Griffith. They brought in some prisoners one time, and Barney looks at him and says, here at The Rock, we have two basic rules. Rule number, memorize them so you can say them in your sleep. The first rule, obey all rules. The second rule, and this is just off the, he says, there is no writing on the walls as it takes a lot of effort to remove writing from walls. So he only had two rules, but where have you not been a part of or that somebody didn't give you some guidelines? So here's, God says, 10 commandments. There was moral law, social law. Moral law goes with God. Social law, I got to get along with everybody else. You say, well, how many commandments were there? Moral law and social law, the first four go with God, the last six go with man. Many people mistakenly look at the Ten Commandments as a set of rules that if I follow them, I'm going to get to heaven. No. Tell me the problem with obeying rules. Anybody? You can't do it. Well, that's what teens would say, I think. But no, Mark, you're right. I can't keep the rules. So why did God give them to us? he says, here's your general guidelines, but if you can't keep them, I'm going to prove to you that you need my son Jesus. Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So Jesus came, and basically it's this, if it can't put it any simpler than this, Jesus kept all the Ten Commandments, never sinned once. And so the Bible says his righteousness is imputed to me. So if I accept Jesus, I'm as righteous as Jesus is. Wow. But back in the day, this is called Mosaic Law. Let me give you the Ten Commandments and let's see how we do. We can't keep the law. Nobody's ever going to obey them, but God's going to prove to you that you can't. So when the Bible speaks of the law, it refers to the detailed standard God gave to Moses, beginning in Exodus 20. If you need a Bible, James is going to give you one. In Exodus 20, we see God's law. He started off with these people and probably just thought, would you just follow me? They soon could not follow him. So he says, okay, I'm going to give you some laws. You say, well, we can't follow them now, but I'm going to prove to you that you can't follow them. So Mark, you're right. You can't follow them. I'm going to prove to you that it's going to take something more than just keeping the laws. So we could talk about that all day. I don't want to get too far off the, I don't think it's a rabbit trail at all, but there's just so many comments about the law. First of all, if I give you a set of rules, God says, I'm going to give you these rules, basic guidelines you can live by. You're soon going to see that you can't keep them, but at least they're very simple. But when you can't, you're going to realize that you need my help, and that's called grace. So has anybody ever kept the law? No. Let me show you, and I don't know, I'm sure haven't arrived. I don't know, none of us have, but let me just show you what I would love to, how would you like to do this? Let's pretend like, just pretend, Mark Camper, you're on my football team, and I say, we're going to run sprints, five sprints. That's a rule. You run it, and that's, what if I came out one day and said, you run as much as you think you need to. Mark will run 10. You see, that's what God wants us to do. He basically just, let's pull back on the rules. You just do what's right. You'll do more than what the law says. That's where you need to get to in your Christian life. You'll do what's right if there are no rules. Really? Now watch this. It's real good. People who mostly do not know God want a set of rules so they can keep the rules. I don't need God no more than the Tower of Babel. I'm going to keep my rules. I'll get to heaven. I didn't need God's help. Trouble is, you won't keep the law. I, on the other hand, I accepted Jesus a long time ago. Now I'm thinking, do I need the law? No. It breaks my heart when I sin anyway. So I don't need rules. I got Jesus now. I had Bobby Donnelly running sprints one time on a JV basketball team. And these guys had run sprints and run sprints. And I said, okay, two more, let's do that. So that's sort of like a rule. When they got through, I was tired. They weren't doing what I asked. I said, I tell you what, if you think you've done great going up in the locker room, the ones that were goofing off, I didn't bother them. I just, Bobby stands there and I said, Bobby, you have won every sprint. He said, but I haven't been doing my best. I said, okay, let's keep running. Bobby didn't even need me. I could have went upstairs. He'd have stayed and ran sprints. Others needed the law because if I'm not there, what do they do? I mean, didn't you act, when you grew up, didn't you act different when mom was around? Right? Teacher goes out of the room. Yes, go. Oh, here come. Hey, how's it going? See there? I want you to get to the point in your spiritual life that you don't go, oh, here comes God. Let's straighten up. How about you just straighten it up? If God, you don't even, where's God? I know what to do anyway. You ever do this in high school? Let's see how fast this car will go. No, my daddy get mad at me. Your daddy's not in that car. Who cares? Yeah, but he'll know. Well, I got news for you. Your heavenly father will know. I want to do what's right, whether God's just peering over my shoulder, and he is. But I just want to do what's right. Here's Exodus chapter 20, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. First thing, I'm your God. You need to live like that. Next, you shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You say, okay, God loves me if I keep his commandments. God loves you anyway. But what he was saying is this. Don't make yourself an idol. Back in the day, they had idols that they just had to see something to believe in it, which is sad. Now you said, but that was back in the Mosaic law. That was back in Moses' time. It doesn't apply to me today. Chris Shepherd, how about this? You shall not make for yourself an idol. What could we do today? What could be an idol to something? See there? When you're sensitive to God, you start going, you know what? I got an idol. I live in a shack, but I got a Cadillac out in the driveway. Don't nobody touch my car. Wow. And your wife wants to say, nope. I'm out there babying this baby. Wow. That car's your God. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. If my kids go hungry and I got a $4,000 guitar. I mean, you can't do that. You can make anything an idol. You ever think teens do that in high school? Oh, my boyfriend. Yeah. Whatever you spend most time with, if you go, the house about burned down. Is my phone okay? Grandma's charred, but we got your phone. Hallelujah. It's okay then. I'm good. Rolled out a wheelchair, just looked like a charred body. Grandma's dead, but hey, got my phone. That's stupid. I mean, and people do that. Now, I love my kitty cats. You love your horse. I think we do a good balance, perfectly. But some people don't. Oh, there's my dog. Again, where's the kids? I don't know. They're on 81, but anyway. My dog, here he is. I'm just going to hang on to him. Come on. So, do you get how we can take each of these and make them applicable to today? Should not misuse the name of my Lord your God. Now, I'm going to step on your toes. You can get mad at me later. There's a Christian song playing on Spirit FM right now, and I think his name is Good God Almighty. That makes me feel weird because I've heard people, Good God! I don't really like you saying that. I mean, I'm weird, I know. Am I that? Yeah, okay. I just don't like to say God's name unless I'm praying to Him or praising Him. You know, it's like, I hear kids at Salem do that. Good God! I said, He is, isn't He? Praise God. Oh, I know you didn't mean it that way. Or somebody says Jesus, I just want to kick them. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I said, where? I've been looking for Him to come back. And people, what? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's right, you're a preacher. I'm just Christian. Quit using His name wrongfully. I had a track one time that says, God's last name is not Dan. So quit saying that. And isn't it odd that atheists will say that? You don't even believe in God, yet you use His name wrongly. Don't misuse His name. Remember the Sabbath day. What's that mean? Can I just lump all this together? Come to church. Why? Because you worship and you get rest with God. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you'll labor. Now, I could go into less, but the first four pertain to God. The first four are God. I think that's pretty fair, don't you? God goes first. See if you can remember those. First of all, what's that up at the top? What's the first one? Don't have anybody else before me. I'm God. Second one, don't make yourself an idol. Third one, don't use my name wrong. And fourth one, come to church. I want to meet with you. That's how I interpret those today. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, He did want you to rest, and I understand that seventh day God rested. But you need a spiritual rest too, so it's almost like, can you stop working long enough to come worship and just be with me for a while? And when we don't, we almost feel like, God, I'd love to meet with you, but, Then the fifth one there, honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother so that you'll live long in the land. Because you know why? Because they're going to beat you to death if you don't honor. No, I just... Honor your father and mother. And then don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. Verse 18, I want to show you something. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. Social distancing, right? There it is. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we'll die. They just saw God for who He was, awesome, powerful. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. I want to show you something. God will be with you to keep you from sinning. When you realize God's with you and you fear Him, that is, respect Him, you won't sin. So how do people sin today? They fear God? No, they don't respect Him anymore. And they scoot away, and pretty soon they forget how strong and powerful God is. And it's like, I'm not scared of Him. And then idols and altars. And let me mention something about the commandments then. Here they are. By New Testament times, the religious leaders has hijacked the law and added it to their own rules and traditions. Would you look over in Mark chapter 7? Mark chapter 7. I want to show you a couple sections of Scripture. So if I want to really be close, solid with God, please bear with me. It's the best way I can explain it. I don't mean this the wrong way. I'm not being haughty. I don't mean, but I don't need the law. Susan, does that make sense? I mean, we shouldn't need the law. Why? We should do what's right, and whether I'm told or not, right? You know, you would hopefully say, I'm going to do what's right. I don't need the law. Jesus says He didn't come to abolish the law, come to fulfill it. So if I'm standing next to the Pharisees, let me ask you, who did Jesus, when He saved people left and right there and people were coming to Him? Prostitutes, robbers, you know, murderers. What the world would call what? Rejects, lowlifes, I mean. And then the Pharisees come out, they're all nose stuck up in the air. And John the Baptist even said, who, you brood of vipers? You really call them hypocrites. It's like, what are you doing here? We're going to be baptized. For what reason? Who told you about heaven and hell? Jesus said this one time. He basically tells them, hey, behave yourself and repent and do all this right thing. And they said, who are you? Jesus says, well, if you knew, we know God. He says, if you knew God, you'd know me. Our father is Abraham. You know what Jesus said to them? Looks them straight in the face, says, no, you are not of your father Abraham. You're of your father the devil. Because if you know Abraham, you know me. And you know what the Pharisees basically said? Well, we keep the law. What did they think was getting them to heaven? The law. We've dotted all the, we've crossed the T's, dotted I's, we've done everything. There's a plant called the pomegranate. Nothing special necessarily about it. I've been told, and I think this is a slight exaggeration, but they said it's 613 seeds in a pomegranate. They sometimes use that to talk about the Talmud and the law, because you know what? How many additions? Now, if you could just keep the Ten Commandments, that'd be fine, but you know how many add-ons that they did? 613, somewhere there. It's in a ballpark between that and 1,000, but really they said roughly, how about, all right, give me the fourth commandment again. Anybody? Remember the what? Sabbath day and keep it holy. Did you see God add anything else? So now we're going to add in a few other things. And don't go a distance from your house more than a mile. You can't go this or that. Well, that's not one of the Ten Commandments, but now we've got to add on. And now we take the basic law and stretch it or do stuff. And you say, well, Moses even told him more specifics. You're right. But by the time we got to the Pharisees and all those people, if I said I can only go this distance, I read this in a commentary and I thought this was sort of funny. If I said I can only go 20 feet, and they said really a mile from your house, but look, we can only go here, and I wanted the Kleenex, what would I do with this rope that was a mile long? I'd tie something on to it and make it a little bit longer so I can get this. You can't change the law. So the Pharisees are all the time stretching the law and doing stuff. So then they come up to Jesus and says, hey, we're keeping all the law. We're going to heaven. You hypocrites. Y'all can't do anything right. We've kept all these laws. When a rich young ruler came to Jesus, how can I get to heaven? What did Jesus say? Sell all your possessions. You say, well, he didn't tell me to do that when I got saved. Jesus was being more specific with this guy. He says, you go sell all you have and give to the poor, and then you'll get to heaven. What he was really driving at, you go change your heart. And it says a rich man walked away sad. By the way, you know what he told Jesus? First thing Jesus said, he said, how can I get to heaven? Jesus says, obey all the commandments. You know what this guy said back to Jesus? I have. I have since you. You have kept the commandments all your life. Mark, have you kept all the commandments all your life? You know what one he just now broke by saying that? Lied. I've kept all the commandments of my life. Jesus, I'm about perfect. Oh, well, and then I tell you what, let's go to this next level. Why don't you go sell all you have? Oh, and then he walked away sad because I'll keep all the commandments, which obviously he wasn't saved. I'm not going to give a dime to the poor. Oh, Look at this right here, Mark chapter 7. Matthew, Mark chapter 7, 7 through 9 says this. Back up to verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" What did the Pharisees, all the religious leaders, get mad at Jesus? His disciples ate and hadn't washed their hands first. You know what I'd say? I grew up in Giles, man. Who cares? Exactly. We owed over 100. So the Pharisees. I got to go back to verse 1, chapter 7, give you the whole story. Pharisees, some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, saw some of his disciples eating food with their hands that were unclean. They're unwashed. Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat anything unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. Holding to the tradition of the elders. I give you a key word right there. I hope you don't miss it. What did they follow? Tradition. That's what we've always done here in Giles. Wow. Jesus, I tell you what, there's a new sheriff in town. That's me. Won't you do what I say? No, we're going to keep with the law. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat anything they want. Unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions. There it is again. Such as washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" Do you think we have anybody in church today across America that do that? Stand up and sing a song of worship and go out and cuss grandma out in the car. You're not Christ-like at all. "But I got the suit on. I go to church." Welcome to the Pharisees. Well, these Pharisees were the religious leaders. They're also the ones that killed Jesus in 2 weeks. "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." There you go. When these, you say, "Well, the commandments are sort of like rules." When the rules quit being rules and your life changes, that's what you want to do. By the New Testament times, religious leaders hijacked the law. They just saw, "You keep law, you're going to heaven." And bless their heart, they were missing it so bad. Go over a little bit further and look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith..." Notice it didn't say keeping the Ten Commandments. But Edgar, don't we keep the Ten Commandments? You have faith, you'll keep the Ten Commandments. If you keep the Ten Commandments without faith, you're lost. You're just trying to work your way to heaven. Chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, "Since we have now been justified by His blood, not by keeping the law, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? And not only in this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we now receive reconciliation." Didn't mention the law at all in that. And if you're still struggling to say, but just go a page or so over in Romans chapter 8. "Therefore, since we know Jesus, Therefore, since we know Jesus, look at this, verse 1 of chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He did not say there is no condemnation to those who keep the law. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You see that? For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. How about this? It's simply this. I try to keep the law to gain favor with God, and I'll get to heaven. Jesus says, how about you just accept me as Savior, and you'll be able to keep the law. I'm trying to keep the law, sort of try to get the faith. And Jesus says, you got the cart before the horse there. How about you just have faith, and I'll help you keep the law. But Jesus, I can't do that. You just trust me. I'll take care of you. Doesn't that keep them? I love that. Isn't that simple? But if I keep the Ten Commandments and go to heaven? No, you can keep the Ten Commandments. I don't want a list of things to do to please God. I just want to be God's. I want Him, He wants me, and that keeps it pretty simple. And guess what? I'll end up doing stuff like the Ten Commandments. I'll end up keeping the law. I'll end up doing what I should be doing because I'm just in love with Him. Does that make... Don't watch the Hallmark Channel too much. But anyway, if you walked on, you see those young couples, they got, and some people actually say this, they got a little checklist in the woman that they're looking for. You know, is she pretty? Is she smart? Does she have a job? She's made the checklist or something. I tell you what, I fall in love with Jenny and she's everything on the checklist. Because beauty is in what? And if somebody comes along and says, who's the prettiest woman in the world? It's Jenny. Well, you got Miss America. You know, for some, I just don't see her the way I see Jenny, though. Oh, so you love Jesus first, and wow, Jesus, can I do this? You don't have to. No, I want to do it. Jesus, here's my money. No, here's all I got. Now, if you keep the law, you know how much you give? A tithe and no more. What do you think? How about the rich man? He wouldn't give a dime. How about the poor widow woman? Oh, she had. One's in love with Jesus, and one's a tight wad and trying to follow the law. There's the pomegranate. All the Pharisees and all those people, if we can just keep these 613 rules, I would have an ulcer. Now, did I say something wrong? Did I do? We don't keep... Quit worrying about all the little tiny laws that we're going to have because we'll break them. We were sitting in the open desert plain under the night skies. He had started a small fire. I think it was only so he could read the words on the parchment paper he was holding in his hand. It was a clear night. Sky was filled with stars. What you see, he said, is the Olam. O-L-A-M. Olam. Everything you see is the Olam. The universe, the creation. And this, he said, lifting up the parchment, is the Devar, the Word. The Devar and the Olam. The Word and the world. Which seems greater, the Devar or the Olam? Well, it would seem that the universe is greater, I said, the Olam. Teacher says, yes, it seems so much bigger. And which seems more real and solid? Well, the Olam, I said again. Yes, it would seem that the parchment is real. Yes, it would seem so, he said, but it's not the whole. Then holding the parchment to the light, he began translating its words. It is written in the Psalms, for He spoke and it came into existence. He commanded and it was established. And in the book of Hebrews it is written, the universe was formed at God's command. So which came first, the Olam or the Devar, the world or the Word? Well, the Word came first, I said. Then came the world. Oh, then which is greater, the world or the Word? He said the Word would be greater. Then which is more real and more solid? The Word is more real. Yes, said the teacher, the Word came first, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was who? The Word was God. So if I said, here's a Bible, Here's the world. Which is easier to see? Oh, the world is. It's all around us. Actually, it's the other way around. God spoke the world and it came into being. In the world, the world follows the Word. And what does that mean for our lives? Well, we must not be led about by the world, but by the Word. He said it means you are never to be led by circumstances and events of your life. All that is a part of the Olam. It is so secondary. The Olam, the world, changes and passes every day. But the Devar, the Word, never changes, never passes away. Therefore, be led by the Word. Stand on the Word. And despite what the world gives you, stand for the Word. For what is He has spoken shall come to be in the universe and in your life. The Word is first, and only in then the world can follow later. So Matthew 6:33 says this, choose ye first the kingdom of God. All the other things will add into you. So if you let the other things become your first, we're going to be in trouble. All right, quiz time, then I'll pray. How many people think you can keep the word, all the commands? Nobody. How many of us can accept Jesus, though, as a Savior? See there? So I don't have to keep all those. Oh, that will free. That's what Paul writes in Romans. He says, you will be free. I don't have to keep all this. Boy, that you just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That'll take care of all those laws. Man, that makes it a whole lot simpler. I think so, too. I had a few rules when I was small. Can't even hardly remember. As I got older, they diminished. Because my mom and daddy said, don't really need them. Why? You just do what you know we'd want you to do. God does the same way. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you make things so simple. You give people a set of rules or laws. They call them the Ten Commandments. And really, it was just for a general way to keep people morally right with you and with each other. But soon, people couldn't keep the law. So, Jesus, you sent your... You brought your own self to earth. You left the confines of heaven to come down here. God, you sent Jesus, and Jesus, I'm so thankful that you are a willing sacrifice for us. And it changed from all those commands to where in the New Testament you would tell people, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That took care of the other ten. Because when we're in love with you, we'll do all those other things. We'll come to church. We won't have gods before you. We won't covet. We won't steal. We won't lie. We'll want to do what pleases you. So, Lord, being a Christian is not a list of do's and don'ts. Being a Christian is a person who's placed their faith and trust in you. Now you make things simple. So, Lord, I know the Israelites needed a set of law to really prove to them that they couldn't keep it. They couldn't be moral. We needed a Savior. We've got you. So, Lord, today, hear my prayer as I pray for all the ones that have gathered with me here today. We're all worshiping you. If someone here again doesn't know you, Lord Jesus, help us just to see you for who you are, and that's the Savior of the world. Please help us to have faith to place in you. I've heard people pray before. They say, God, if you're real, they don't even have enough faith. But if you're real, show yourself, and suddenly you do. You're so kind. We can take the faith that's the size of a mustard seed, and we can move a mountain. So, Lord, it's not a lot of, we don't need a mountain load of faith. We just have enough faith to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and you're a Savior. Please forgive me. Save me. Lord, if we've gotten away from you, draw us back close. Keep us so sensitive, but we don't need a list of do's and don'ts. We just need to fall in love with you, afresh and anew, every morning, every day. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.